Good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be focusing on the 63rd Perek, Perek Samach Gimel of Yeshayahu, and boy, are we getting close to the end. We really have, after today, three more Perekim, so we're really well on the way. Let's try to appreciate this again. We're following off the end of the Haftorah that is read in Parshas Nitzavim, the last of the Shiva de Nechemta, and this particular Perek contains 19 Pesukim and is divided really into two sections. The first section really runs from Aleph to Vav, and I think I'd put the title of pinch hitting a vengeance. So what does this mean? In this particular section, this first smaller section of the Perek, the focus is this. It's almost like a poetic dialogue which is going on. A poetic dialogue is sort of witnessing an event and questioning about this event. So here we go. The way it starts is Mize ba me Edom chamutz begadim mibotzra. Who's that coming from Edom in these red, in these crimson reddened garments from Botzra with great might? And the response is, it is I, Hashem. Ani medaber bitzdaka, Rav lo Yishia. I'm coming to save them. So then the voice questions this apparition again and says, but why are your garments red like you're pressing grapes? Like the voice of the witness doesn't understand why it is that Hashem looks like this. So Hashem explains very carefully. I pressed them alone, and no one stopped me. And as I squashed them in my anger, their blood splattered on my garments. So it's not just grape juice you're witnessing. This is the real deal. This is the blood of the enemy. Because it's a day of a vengeance. And the year of redemption is coming. Ki yom nokom bilibi. The day of vengeance is in my heart. Ushnasku ulai bo'o. The year of redemption is arriving. I looked and there was no one else to help, so I saved them and used my anger against my enemies. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu concludes this section in his speech. Therefore, I will trample the nations and make them drunk like in their confusion. So it's a two-part dialogue. The voice questioning Hashem almost innocently, and Hashem responding twice. And there seems to be this image of Hashem having killed Edom. And in fact, the Meforshim point out it wasn't that HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed Edom, but it was rather that he vanquished the Saroi Shel Edom, the spiritual power of Edom. Once that was destroyed, then there was nothing left. Then ultimately, the entire Edom itself could fall there afterwards. So just one or two points to notice on this. This pasuk is a very famous pasuk where Hashem describes Geula. He says, Ki yom nokom bilibi, the day of vengeance is in my heart. What does it mean, in my heart? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Tesmon Aleph says, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, Lilibi golisi, le'evorai lo gilisi. That I revealed it to my heart, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, but I did not reveal it to my limbs. Which means, Reish Lakish explains, Lilibi golisi, le'malachei ashores lo gilisi. I didn't even reveal it to the angels of my service. Says Reish Lakish, meaning to say, it sounds like the Geula itself is something which is impenetrably secret. No one besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu really knows how it goes. And in fact, one of the famous commentators in the Torah, whose name is Rav Yitzhak Arama, who has a pirush on Tanakh called the Akedas Yitzhak. It's a pity because he writes in such a long pirush, a lot of times it's inaccessible to people. But he has incredible insights. He lived in the 1500s, so he was witnessing the expulsion of Spain, and a lot of his thoughts are influenced by that calamity which he witnessed. And he says an interesting thing. He quotes the Gemara early on in Sanhedrin that says, Tipak nafshon shel machash vekitzim. That it should be end the souls of those who try to work out the end of days. And he points out that the more that we spend time trying to work out the end of days, the further it moves away from us. It's illusory. Why? Because ultimately, Geula is dependent on our actions, dependent on the temperature of the water as we set it. And if we're essentially trying to work out a day, a year, a time, what we essentially are doing is we're exporting the responsibility and saying, it'll come then, and we're all right because it'll come then. And then ultimately, we're abdicating the responsibility necessary as it moves further away from us. That's what he learns from this pasuk over here. And of course, this is at a time when he witnessed the messianic yearnings that maybe when the Jews were kicked out of Spain, there were many people who said, well, this must be the beginning of the war of Gog and Magog. This must be the beginning of the Geula. And so Rabbi Yitzhak Arama says, cool down. It's not so simple. It's not so simple to make those assumptions. Moving right on, there is a statement where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says twice in this short section, I saw there was no one helping. And what does it mean there was no one helping? So explains the Meforshim. Some of the Meforshim point out that this means that there was no tzaddikim, there was nobody, in this case, trying to be defensive for Klal Yisrael. There were no tzaddikim, there was no one else left to defend Klal Yisrael. Whereas some of the Meforshim also point out that the Radak, based on an earlier part of this perek, says no. Einozer means to say that there's no, none of the nations really cared. As Israel was murdered, massacred, trampled under the bus, nobody really noticed. They just carried on doing their business. It was, they only took notice when they needed to boycott their products for their policies on their policies. That's what's going on. We have two very true and unfortunate ways of looking at this. The last section of this parak runs from Zion to Yotes, and this section is about the prayer from help in exile. It's funny because these two sections really almost diametrically opposite. The voice we're going to be hearing now is the voice of Yeshayahu, as representative of the Jews in Galus, and begging Hashem for Geula. It's funny because Hashem just talked about how he's going to be doing the Geula. So this section starts as follows. The Navi now says, and praises Hashem for all the good that he does for Israel and mercy and kindness, and he explains that ultimately the reason why he does this is because the Bnei Yisrael are his children. They're not going to lie to him. And that's why Hashem saves him. And b'chol tzara som lo tzar, in all of their pain, it was pain. And we'll come to that in a moment, what that means. And Hashem therefore redeemed them in his geula. But the problem is, now Yeshayahu points out, is that they did deceive. Hashem expected, bonim lo yeshakeru, children won't lie to their parents. But they did. They rebelled. They sanded at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem had to turn into the enemy. And it was in that state that we went into redemption. And then we remember the days of yore. We remember the days of the good days when Moshe led the people. And we say, where was the time when Moshe took us out of the sea? That power that accompanied him. He split the waters. He let us run through the waters. He let us escape. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave power that sort of like, as metaphorically, like this animal which lives in valleys, that can, you know, jump from rock to rock, even in the most deadly places, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows the power to escape and bring us out of the depths. So Yeshayahu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, please, show us favor, bring us out of here, like the days of old when you saved Bnei Israel. And then he says a very powerful thing. Ki atovinu, you're our father, Hashem. Ki Avram lo yada'anu, v'Yisrael lo yakironu. Abraham doesn't know us. Yisrael, Yaakov doesn't recognize us. You, Hashem, are our father. Please save us. And then it gets even stronger. He says, Lama tata'ev Hashem yidrachecho. Why do you allow us to stray? The longer you leave us in Golos, the more we're going to stray, because the suffering is so immense. Like, God, don't allow us that to happen. Allow us to get out. We've had such a short time in Yerushalayim. Our enemies have destroyed it for even longer. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hayinu me'olam lo mashal tobom, lo nikra shimcho aleihem. You didn't call your name on the rest of the nations. Why do you allow them to succeed? Save us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You split the heavens for Har Sinai. Save us. That's this deep and intimate plea that Yeshayahu is saying. Even though we're wrong, we're pleased to save us. One or two just very fascinating points to ponder upon over here. And that is that there is a very interesting kri uksiv. Kri uksiv means to say that the way you look at the actual word as it is printed in Tanakh is written one way, and the way we read it is actually slightly different. So coming back to Pasuk Tes, where we say, Bechol tzara sam lo tzar, that in all their pains, lo tzar, it was lo tzar. The word lo can be, is actually written lamed vav, and is said lamed aleph. Now, it actually sounds exactly the same, but the one means not, and the other one means to him. We see this a few times in Tanakh, in Tehillim Kuf as an example. Lo yanachnu, those are the two ways we can say it. And interestingly enough, they actually mean two different things. So as the Radak points out, if in the way that is written with it is, which is with an aleph, it means to say, "B'chol tzarasam lo tzar." In all of their pain, Hashem didn't give a full amount of pain, says the Radak, meaning Hashem did not allow out all the pain. In the way it's read, b'kri with a lamed vav, that it is to him pain. It means that as we are suffering, he is suffering equally himself. So there's a sort of two levels over here which are being conveyed to us. But if you want to go even further, very, very powerful idea. Rav Mendel Hirsch was the son of Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, who wrote the book of the Hirsch, the book of Anavtaros. It's one of the set of the older set of Rav Hirsch Svarim. And he points out in this, because of course it's the Haftarah of Netzavim, he points out that actually, maybe this is the way we look at things. You know, usually the ksiv, the way it's written, which is with a, in this case, the Lamed Aleph, is perhaps the way we see things. The way we read it is what's really actually happening. Sometimes we look around and we say, we're suffering so much. Hashem doesn't really care. He doesn't feel pain. He's left us. He's gone fishing. But in reality, in the Kri, in the way we read it, the sort of the life to it is Hashem is really suffering with us. It's harder to see that, but we feel and we hear that. That's what Rav Mendel Hirsch says as we experience this. Something about the two levels of reality. And of course, it is worthwhile knowing that the word Lamed Aleph, Lamed A, Lamed Lamed Vav, the Kri and the Ksiv together, of course, spell out the word Elul, naturally. That's the way that we get into the section, which we're approaching rapidly. Finally, last idea. And that is that when we say that Avram and Yitzhak, Avram and Yaakov forgot us, what in the world does that mean? They forgot us. You know, our ancestors, our forefathers don't care about us anymore. So the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Tzadi and Pei Tesa on Aleph says a remarkable thing. It says that our Gosh Baruch Hu comes to Avram and Yaakov at the end of times and says, Bonecha Chatu, your children sinned. What should you do with them? And Avram says, Yimochal Kiddush Shemecha, let them get erased through via Kiddush Hashem. Because they don't deserve any better. Yaakov does the same thing. He looks at the spreadsheet and he says, you know what, you're right, a pretty terrible margin over here. Get rid of them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally goes to Yitzhak and he says, Bonecha Chatu, what should happen? And Yitzhak first of all says, my children, not your children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these are your children. You made a covenant with them at Sinai. Then let's look at this. On the one hand, you know, they're not punishable for sin up to the age of 20. After 20, they live to 50, another 50 years, divide that in half because of the amount of time they're sleeping. He takes off all the time. He discounts the time they're sleeping, they're eating, and they're involved, they go to the bathroom. Basic functions. And so all that's left, he says, is, you know, a short amount of years. Let's split the difference. I'll take the responsibility on credit for the amount of sins that they did. For the mountain, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shoulder the rest. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu then says, that's what the Pasuk means over here, Vayeshayel. That's exactly what our Pasuk is. Ki Avram lo yida'anu, Avram doesn't know it, Yisrael yakiranu, Yitzhak is not, it does not recognize. Avinu ata means to say, who does remember us? Yitzhak. Ultimately, Yitzhak made the sacrifice for himself on Har Moriah, sacrifices himself once again for the nation of Israel in the future. Very, very remarkable idea. And just to close, I once heard a beautiful idea that's why it is that we split the middle matzah. Why on Pesach, the Nadas Seder, we split the middle matzah. Why? Because we know that the matzos have different metaphoric systems of value. And the one is Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So the middle matzah, which is Yitzhak, is the one we split because he's willing to split himself and sacrifice himself in order for us to ultimately be vindicated. And that's the way to Geula, is the willingness to sacrifice for others, even though they are guilty, even though they're not worthy. That's the way that we enter into redemption. We should see it. B'mehar v'yomein. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.